This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
I sip the Dom P, watching Gandhi till I'm charged and writing books. In my book of rhymes, all the words past the margin. To hold the mic, I'm throbbing. Mechanical movement, understandable smooth shit the murderers move with. The thief's theme. Play me at night, they won't act right. The fiend of hip-hop has got me stuck like a crack pipe. The mind activation, react like I'm facing time like I'm Pappy Mason. With pins I'm embracing, wipe the sweat off my dome, spit the phlegm on the streets. Suede Tims on my feet, keep my cipher complete. Whether cruising in a six cab or Montero Jeep, I can't call it. The beats make me falling asleep. I keep falling, but never falling 6 feet deep. I'm out for presidents to represent me. Say what? Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on a Monday.
We are
right after Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Of course, Game of Thrones. Our Game of Thrones recap will be Wednesday. This week's guest will be Justin, who you guys all know and love. So we'll be going over all the predictions and different angles and jokes and stuff. It was lit on Black Twitter last night.
Yes.
And my timeline was lit, my mentions were lit, everybody was running around. HBO official account tweeted out them Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked. Me and Firestarter was talking about it, and I was like, from like just that nigga shit to HBO being like,
right,
we down. So which is so dope. And then of course I had to pin a tweet to my top of my profile to be like, hey, Firestarter, that's them Thrones is them.
Right.
Because everybody was doing the thing on Twitter where it's like, somebody gonna get a check, and I'm like, first of all, them white people ain't about to write nobody not now check.
Come on, not an A-Ray check.
Y'all about to fall out over nothing. But I was like, you know, that's Firestarter. So if that check, if any credit, all that shit should go to them, because that's where I first heard it. And you know, I say it all the time, but you know, after the stuff that happened 2 years ago, it's like, definitely want to keep the hammer on being like, hey guys, it's them, you know. But that don't mean we can't all use it to have fun. And it was so dope to see it trending, to see, mm-hmm, people having fun, to see Jemele Hill and people like jumping on, and it was just back to having a fun time. And it reminded me of when the show, you know, it reminded me of when the hashtag was smaller and it was just like the people that were fans of like the Chitlin Circuit of podcasts, kind of,
right,
like everybody just being like black people over in the small corner. But it's gotten so big now that you see all kinds of people doing it, but it still had that feeling like the cookout, and that was dope, man. So I hope it continues to go. All right, let's see what all we got. So you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Leave us 5-star reviews. I see y'all have left some. I think we did the show so early yesterday that the reviews hadn't populated on iTunes yet.
Okay.
Because I saw some yesterday pop up, so
yay.
Hopefully that means
and
that
some of y'all still got time. Y'all still got time to put 5 on it
for next week. And then what else was I gonna say? Oh yeah, the website, theblackouttest.com. You can of course vote in polls there. You can you know, leave comments on the website. You can email us, theblackouttest@gmail.com. you can leave voicemails as long as they're 2 minutes or less, 704-557-0186. Just leave less than 2 minutes or you will get cut off.
Yeah, the voicemail don't play.
Yeah, it does not play with you guys. all right, let's get into the news.
We want a guest spot.
Oh shit. Oh, you're right Karen. I totally forgot.
Yeah, we've been doing a lot, like behind, man, the scenes. We've been doing a lot.
It's really about time for me to do one of those posts that's like, hey, I'm changing the password to the RSS feed, and also for the premium people, and also we've been busy. We've been on these guest spots. I was writing down all the guest spots we've done. Mm-hmm. Last night we were on the DJ Blaze radio show podcast, mm-hmm. Which is a very fun time that we had.
We had a great time.
And I think it was Brandon and Courtney that mm-hmm. are the hosts there. And, we just chopped it up with them. It was fun. Got kind of serious about parts. You know, it's kind of like our show where you flow in and out of fun and serious to lighten. Yes. Funny and stuff, and I enjoyed that. And plus, it was fun to hop on a podcast with two other people from the South, two other Black people from the South. Mm-hmm. So it was like, oh shit, y'all from South Carolina? Well, shit, what's up, my nigga? You know. So that was fun. You guys can go check that out. It is already out. So, mm-hmm. And then you know, we have our premium stuff that we did Balls Deep Saturday. Nerd Off was Friday. Mm-hmm. What else was I gonna say? Oh, and then we did a movie review, and then I'm gonna do another movie review soon for Hellboy, because nobody else saw that but me and my man Aaron from the Black Astronauts podcast saw it, so I'm gonna hit him up soon. Just busy, man.
Yeah, the past like 2-3 weeks we would have been going.
Feel like everybody has something for us to do. Everybody has an opportunity for us, and I can't really announce it, but we will be going somewhere on a panel for a conference soon. So we'll let you guys know as soon as we can drop that information for y'all.
We can drop it, we'll let you know.
We'll let you guys know all the info with that. So mm-hmm. Yeah, we working. Working. Got me working day and night.
Boom.
So now did I say the official weapon?
The taser.
Unofficial sport.
Bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. Now let's get into the podcast. Woo. So much news, guys. First of all, the biggest news. It was a big tragedy today. You probably heard about it or seen it. It was everywhere. You really couldn't escape it. A lot of people was really mourning the loss of one of the biggest structures and establishments that has been around for a long time. And we're just watching it, you know, we're just watching it burn right in front of us. Insecure is not coming back in 2019. It's only gonna in 2020. That's when we will get season 4, guys. Insecure will not be back until 2020. Because Issa is a big time movie star now.
She doing shit.
She's producing shows. I mean, it's sad.
Them in Atlanta coming back the same year, ain't they?
I mean, it's like they don't want me and Bossy to do this too much. It's really it's really like an attack on the off season. They knew Bossy's book was coming out and they said, we don't want to give y'all any reason to kick it and hang out. So Insecure is taking a year off, and same thing with Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess they want us to watch other Black shit in the meantime, which I refuse. I'll just be sitting here waiting. Like Issa was waiting on that light-skinned man last year.
Come on.
I'm gonna go to HBO house and some house coats, some slippers, and look through their computer in their trash. What else happened? Notre Dame Cathedral burned up.
Yeah, that was crazy. When I heard, I was like, what? That's a very, very extremely old building. And one of the parts that was burning was like made of wood that dated all the way back to like the 12th century. And they were saying that the wood that was used, it was like basically it took a whole forest to build like one piece of it. So yeah, you know, they're gonna rebuild it, but it's gonna be one of those things with some of that stuff you're just never gonna be able to duplicate it again ever.
Yes. Yeah, oh, too, when it was constructed, Morgan Freeman was a young child. That's how
somebody said the building is 850 years old,
nearly 900 years old. It was engulfed in flames and massive amounts of smoke billowing up from its roof.
Did they say what caused the fire?
They don't know yet. They haven't released it, or they haven't released it to the public yet, I don't think. So that's just crazy. Like, when I first read that, I thought they meant a cathedral at the University of Notre Dame.
Same.
And then I went because I'm an American, guys. Okay. I'm an ignorant American. And then when I went to Qdoba and saw it on the TV, I was like, oh shit, they meant Notre Dame. Like,
they meant like, oh, over there.
Sorry, Karen okay. doesn't know how to silence her phone during
that's
the show.
That's not, hold on, what's that mean?
It's not me. I keep my phone on silent. You know, your phone was ringing during the guest appearance on other podcasts.
But it was in the other room, I didn't know.
Right, guys. Okay. Some of us know how to keep our phones silent like professionals. But go ahead, though.
Do your thing.
What are you gonna say?
Oh, I forgot.
Okay, that's why we have phones on silent. Anyway,
you leave me alone.
Notre Dame was constructed in 1163, and then completed in 1345.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. It took almost 200 years to complete the construction of it. Or as John Gray says, that's why it's more of a partnership. You know, you got to invest in the building fund. So the Pope can have his side chick a nice Lamborghini.
Oh, Lord.
Mm-mm-mm. So, yep, there you guys go.
That building has been around a very, very long as time. It's generations and generations and generations of people and shit like that. I'm like, wow.
Yep. Let's see what else is happening. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez quits Facebook, calls social media a public health risk.
And I understand completely.
Listen,
because
I have to say it, okay? I told y'all. I called it. I've been trying to tell people. Okay? Most recently, I said it yesterday, but this social media shit, and these motherfuckers are coming up on social media as a marketing tool, but also it's a tool where you share a lot. But what everybody forgets is you take in a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that have those check marks, the people that had a lot of followers, the famous people, the rich people, they really are not that fucking different than anyone else.
No, they're not.
And most people lose sight of those people's humanity once they get online.
Right.
Maybe they just lose it all the time, but online is the first time most of you can interact with them directly.
Come on.
Whether it was Puff Daddy responding to those people that was talking about his dead ex.
Right.
Like, and people were going, oh no, to see him respond and talk about the guilt. And I'm like, that's because he's human. What is it in all of us that makes us even want to, like, contact him to tell him, you should have married her then, nigga? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what's in you to make you feel like you need to say that to him?
Right.
And then with Ilhan and the death threats and Trump being like this egomaniac monster who feeds off of this attention.
And they make you reevaluate shit.
He thrives in that cesspool. And a lot of the ways that he thrives is because people could think giving him attention is somehow like gonna take him down. When it's the complete opposite.
Mm-mm.
And it's a lot of people's inability to understand that dunking on Donald Trump doesn't matter to him.
No, it does not. Good, bad, or indifference. He's like, you looking at me, that's all that matters.
Right. When you look at like Donald Trump says stuff and then the timeline lights up with people quote tweeting him as trying to say something snarky.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just white people, but especially white people, but it's not just white people. But I see it all the time, people doing that. I have had to mute him, block him, mute the word Trump, and all this shit because I honestly am so disinterested. And I think it's also playing right into his hands. And he wants to be the kind of person that says something and changes the entire conversation to him. He doesn't care that it's good or bad.
Right.
So all that to say, if you are a person that thrives in that environment, then you're thriving in the same environment that created and like really emboldened Donald Trump and his ilk. So yeah. What about that environment seems like it's going to be healthy to be the person getting the most attention? It's not really a healthy place.
No, it's not. And you know, he has no moral lines. If you're a person that has any moral line, any conscience, any empathy or sympathy or any compassion for anybody, particularly if you're at this place where she is, where anything you put out there on social media is instantly going to get thousands of responses to it. That can be a lot. And I will continue to say this, the human mind is not designed to take in this massive amount of information on social media all at once. It's not, it's just your mind, you just can't do it, particularly if you are, which sounds like she was, you're actually reading it, you're actually going through it, you're actually scrolling through it, you know, versus having a buffer, having a staffer or somebody else do that on your behalf.
Yeah, and even then they gotta absorb it,
right?
Like, you're hoping that they can detach themselves because it's not about them.
Correct.
But they're the ones seeing you get death threats, rape, all this shit. Facebook, even the people they use to filter the stuff have to get counseling.
Right.
Many of them, they have turnover and shit because many of them quit because they can't handle seeing all this stuff. I mean, think about the kind of stuff you can send to somebody on just adding them on Twitter. You know, I can send you a video of someone being beaten, of sexual assault. Videos of death and all stuff like that. Obviously death threats, obviously threats of sexual assault for women in many cases, racist stuff. Like, all this stuff is at the fingertips of just any anonymous person. Some people who specialize in doing this and harassing public figures.
This is what they do.
And keep in mind, she has become the target of a Fox News. She has become the target of these conservative radio shows and stuff. So now Republicans log on to Twitter and she's a person to go target. She's a person to go find and argue with, and that keeps her away from the people who root for her, the people who are like, I want to watch you break down your policy proposals on Instagram Live. I want to do a Snapchat. That shit was cool just a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Not no more.
Fox News machine flexed on her. And now she's like, I need to get off of here.
Right, because before when you did that, people would come and it would be a more positive environment. Yeah, you would still have some negativity, but not to it is now. You know, she going in now, you probably, because that's the thing, these people actually probably do follow you and all on all these platforms to see when you go live or when you do anything, and immediately, you know, you get the bitches and the cunts and the I'll kill you instantly on your feeds. So it's one of those things where, like you say, once the machine kind of goes at you, this is kind of the result of the negative machine actually going at you. A lot of these people, in my opinion, a lot of them have a lot of hatred in their heart. A lot of them, they're not happy. And so this is just something to kind of release a lot of the anger.
Yeah, and also, tweets are not protection.
No, they're not.
So for all those people that, you know, like, tweet this, go on Facebook and say that, sign this petition, that the only thing somebody like AOC can really do to protect their mental health is probably log out.
Correct.
Because it's going to follow her wherever she goes, because the people are such sheep, they're being told to hate her.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even know why they have to hate her, but you, and this, and I think a lot of people will go, you know, it's her policies, or she's socialist, or look, a lot of this is, she is an outspoken, attractive,
right,
brown woman. Mm-hmm. Even if she's low-key kind of white passing to some people or whatever, she's brown enough. She got a last name of Ocasio-Cortez.
Right.
It's all the little check marks that those people are triggered by and can dog whistle and be like, they don't even have to say anything the completely racist. They can just be like, Ocasio-Cortez, and it's like the racist perk up. And they're saying, basically, go harass this woman. This is our new number one target.
Yes.
She is, and like I said, the playbook is easy. Because, and I wonder if, and maybe they already have and we just don't know it, but I wonder if at some point we'll see deference shown to Nancy Pelosi from people that are like the Justice Democrats, New Democrats. I wonder if we'll see deference shown to Hillary Clinton. I wonder if we'll see deference shown to Barack Obama from these people, because a lot of them kind of made their name by being like, these, like Pelosi, Obama, Clinton, they're not real, they're not good enough. They're centrist to me. They're terrible. They might, you know, I wonder if they'll go, oh, you were dealing with this the whole time?
Right, because it's different when the shoe is on the other foot and you got to deal with the bullshit, because that's the thing. Everybody thinks that they understand shit until the plate is placed upon them. Everybody thinks that they understand the things that you have to go through. And when people have been playing the game as long as they have, dog, they done been through some shit. They not new to this. No, they might not know everything, and no, they might not be perfect, and no, you might not agree with everything they say, but they are not goddamn worthless.
Yeah, but tweeting shit at somebody is not going to stop it. And then also, you're not going to, like, whether Bernie Sanders says something or not, it doesn't necessarily fix, it doesn't help your mental health.
Mm-mm.
To see these things that you've been hit with, these attacks. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what comes of this, but yeah, she stopped using her Facebook account personally, but her campaign still sponsors several active ads on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Her mastery of social media has helped drive the national conversation and shed light on the inner workings of congressional power, and has given up the most popular social network in the world. She is now giving up the, you know, most popular internet social network in the world. In an interview Sunday with the Yahoo News podcast Golduggery, the New York Democrat said she stopped using her Facebook account and was scaling back on all social media, which she described as a public health risk because it can lead to increased isolation, depression, anxiety, addiction, and escapism.
Yes, yes, yes.
Maybe people are listening now that she's saying it.
It does, but and the thing is, the way a lot of these platforms are designed, the average person, your interaction on social media, you'll be fine. But the people that have the millions of followers and the hundreds of thousands of followers, their interaction and their experience on social media ain't the same. And unless you've been over there, you literally don't and never will understand. And that's why it's a big and a humongous disconnect between your average person on internet and the person that receives the hundreds of thousands of death threats and the rape threats and calling all kind of bitches and whores and cunts and all that other shit. Like, the average person would never deal with that. So it's a disconnect. So it's really easy for people to say, well, just don't say nothing. When you and your 100 followers, the first time somebody breathes hard your way, you going off up and down your timeline. But you're human though, and that's okay. But yeah, I'm a celebrity and I'm supposed to be superhuman, and just ignore these things. It's not, it's very, very unrealistic.
Well, also, I'm not sure you're fine.
Correct.
Like, we're saying regular people, they do get less of, you know, less of the worst parts possibly. But I'm not so sure that you're okay, because we've seen regular people that aren't famous have complete fucking meltdowns.
We have.
We've seen people that are on there and it's so obvious to everyone around them, this is some sort of outlet for you.
Right.
Like you're angry every day. Mm-hmm. You're attacking people every day.
Right.
You're dragging people for entertainment every day.
Every day.
The common denominator being you. Like, you're consistently waking up being some sort of level of troubled every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And social media does give you like that escapism. It does let you not focus on yourself for a bit and be like, this is what's wrong with everyone else. This is what's wrong with the world. I don't like this motherfucker right here. You know, but the thing is, there's always got to be a motherfucker and to not like or to hate. And social media provides that motherfucker daily to you, right to your doorstep.
It sure does.
And for a lot of people, like AOC, she's become that motherfucker to some people.
Yep.
Where it's like, oh, let's go see what she's doing so I can tell her she ain't shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I've seen it with people that they're not even, the people they mad at ain't even famous or nothing. They just, mm-hmm. they can't help it, you know. So I think it's true. Study after study keeps telling people this, but it's so weird because you need it in certain lanes anyway. We couldn't do this podcast if we didn't have social media.
Right.
We couldn't, we have to promote certain things on there.
Mm-hmm. So you can't escape, can't escape it.
Yeah. And, well, certain things is beneficial. It just,
right.
It's how do you use this tool essentially.
Right.
But we are still figuring it out. It's, you know, it's the wild, wild west out here. You know, we might be on TV because of a hashtag that we use on Twitter.
Right.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that every experience that I've had with Twitter is good now.
Correct.
Or that counteracts the experiences that I've had that were bad.
Right.
With the same, you know, with the same tool.
Correct. And also, I think the common factor is people. And there are a lot of hurt unhappy, miserable people online. It's a lot of people on social media, and they use social media, and they don't have these problems. They just mind the business. Social media can be a very wonderful and positive tool. It really can. It's all in how do you use it and how do you cultivate it to benefit you. And people do this in different ways. Because I know for me, I'm gonna tell y'all right now, some of my dearest best friends right now I found online. Like, I literally found them online. If it hadn't have been for that, I don't think I would have ever met these people. So I know that it is not this horrific thing. It's just that a lot of people have used it and wielded it, a lot of people have taken social media and have made it such a negative place for their targets, whatever their target is for the day. And like you said, that becomes a problem. It's a lot of, like I said, miserable people, and instead of you focusing on you, fixing you, getting you together, social media allows you an escapism. And like you say, find the fire to either start, find the fire to pull gasoline on, or find a motherfucker to let them know they're a motherfucker today. Like, it's always something out there. But I think that the internet will also grow, and it will also evolve, and it'll change. Like, what it is right now is not going to be the same thing 5 to 10 years from now. So it's going to be interesting to see the changes in the internet. But the common factor and the X factor are people. And you have a lot of people with a lot of, they're at a lot of different stages in their lives. They're at a lot of different personalities, because there's some personalities like narcissists, and in particularly they shine on these particular platforms because it's designed to be about me.
I mean it's kind of like, if you look at how sociopaths operate, you look at how narcissists operate, social media really is kind of based around that personality.
Correct.
You know, me. How do I insert myself into this thing? How do I see myself? How do I block this forever? How do I ban this from my life? How do I disconnect from this? How do I love bomb this person? How do I go, you know, everything they say I love and I like until they become my best friend? You know, it's that kind of thing is common on social media. It's kind of par for the course. And I don't know that most people should be operating like that. And the kind of people that take to it like a fish out of water, you have to look at it and be like, oh, fish in water, I guess. You have to kind of look at it and be like, whoa, am I exhibiting these tendencies that I'm so good at this? But this is created by people that essentially, you know, have monetized how to be a sociopath. I know for me, you know, that, like today, there was a guy who used our hashtag, or not even a hashtag, he used the thing for the show to be like, last 6 episodes of Game of Thrones and last 6 episodes I listened to the Blackout Tips. And so I was like, wow, I wonder where this is coming from. It's like, that's kind of backhanded. And so I actually went and searched his name and searched my name on Twitter to see, like, have we had an interaction before?
Right.
Where was this coming from? Because I didn't really know him or whatever, right? And I looked in this conversation that we had a couple years ago. It was when Bill Maher had Milo Yiannopoulos on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And Milo said some transphobic shit, and Bill Maher kind of agreed with him, and then the other people on the panel kind of tried to say something, but Bill was really on Milo's side, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I already don't fuck with Bill Maher, so I was like, you know, kind of fuck him. This is why I don't watch that show in the first place. Right. You know, this clip was going around online. I'm like, I see nothing's really changed. And the guy was kind of saying, like, well, Bill Maher didn't say nothing, but the guest checked him, so he just moved on. I was like, nah, it's not good enough, blah, 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 you know. And we're arguing over the details of this exchange, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, if you fucking agree with him or you think that shit was okay, then to me, you might as well be transphobic. You're transphobic. And I said, and I have no time for this. Blocked, you know? And so I'm looking at this exchange from 2 or 3 years ago and thinking, like, that may have ruined our podcast for this guy, right? He was a fan of our show. I don't even know that means he was transphobic, because he thought that it was addressed well enough to move on, and I didn't. I don't know that makes him fucking transphobic. I don't know that makes him a transphobe. and I know that day, I remember that day on Twitter, is because anytime you talk bad about Bill Maher, a bunch of people show up to like argue with you.
Yeah, they do.
And my guess is I probably was arguing with multiple people, you know, probably getting upset by all this attention, and at the same time arguing with all these people and not being able to even check myself and be like, why am I arguing with these people? It doesn't matter.
Correct.
And ended up blocking this dude that ultimately was not significant to me, but it was significant to him. Now, it does say something about our show that it's so good that he can't quit these recaps.
Right.
It's been 3 years and he's like, man, he's motherfucking, oh, I guess I'll go back for the recaps. I mean,
after the recaps, that's it, niggas.
If they launch these, these spinoff shows, I don't know what he's gonna
do. I'll be back. Are you right? He gonna be back?
I don't know what he's gonna do. But, I actually read that exchange and I thought about it, and I was kind of disappointed in myself for the way that I handled it, to be honest. There was a way to disagree with him and not make it about calling him a name or not being like, well, you must be just like Milo, because that doesn't necessarily, there's a bunch of room between black and white on that, you know. And so I apologized to him and said, I'm sorry if I ruined our podcast for you, because that was not my intention.
Right.
And that sucks, to be honest. If you're a fan of somebody, you hit them up on social media and they basically are like, block, nigga, I don't agree with you, you know. I said, you know, I still don't necessarily agree that Mar handled it right, but I know that I didn't handle that shit right, talking to you that way. And he was like, that's cool, that's big of you, whatever. I was like, yeah, you know, my bad, you know, shit. I try to get it right when I can, but I don't always get it right. I'm human being too, and some days I'm at my wit's end, some days I'm fucking up, some days I'm on there for a distraction from something else. But the temptation and the ease of which to be like, I cast you out, you know, on social media is so strong.
It is.
And I'm not famous. So that is to say, what Ocasio-Cortez, what Ilhan, what Clinton, what Trump, what Obama, what celebrity, what Puff Daddy, the shit they go through is probably way fucking worse and much more mean and much more, you know, we've had some mean people come at us and stuff, but like, we've just had people where it's just a misunderstanding, or it's just something where we could talk it out and it ends up in that way, you know. And I'm not a person that really plays those games. Like, we've gotten a couple emails in the last couple of days where I've been like, hey, I don't play these games, don't do this. I'm not gonna call you out your name. I'm not gonna make fun of you, but don't, you know, let's not go down this path, you know. But I don't need to make you the bad guy or the villain or call you evil or stupid or whatever the fuck, just because we don't agree. So
agreed. And I think that nobody is above having an off day when you do get wrapped up in it, because I know I've had it before. And you know, it's one of those things, particularly because I tweet, but I don't tweet as much as I used to. I used to be a lot heavier tweeter, but I cut down, and I realized that the high that you get, that shit is real, because I felt it before. Like, the high of, hey, I can say what I want to say and I know people are going to agree with me, or you know, like that shit is real. And so you have to check yourself and ask yourself, why am I doing, or why am I saying the things that I'm saying? You know, I'm here for the jokes like everybody else, please don't get me wrong, but you know, there are some things where you go, you know what, it might be best just not to respond, or it might be best to think about it before I do respond. And also, because you have compassion and you kind of analyze your thoughts and your actions, you know, you could go back and be like, you know what, I'm my bad, dog. But a lot of people don't have that thing in them,
right?
And they're always right and everybody else is always wrong. And that's where a lot of the problems come in, because there's a lot of pride and a lot of ego in people when it comes to social media. It's, I said what I said. Okay, you said what you said, cool, nobody got a problem with that. But if you own that I said what I said, you're gonna have to constantly be on that. And a lot of times those people ignore people when people get in their ass for fucking up, because everybody's gonna fuck up one day.
Yeah, it just make you feel powerful.
Correct.
So back to this though, one of the things that I thought was interesting, young people are actually leaving Facebook. So I think it was in 2015, 71% of young people, of teenagers in America had Facebook. Now it's about 50%. So they've lost 21% in just like 4 years.
I agree with that. Resend my thing. I don't know what happened to me.
Okay, I'll invite you back on screen.
To an extent, I understand that, because you have to think, particularly with Facebook. Facebook is that thing to where it's not like we were in school. It's almost like when we were in school, let's say you fucked up at your high school back in the day, your shit stayed at your high school. Now when you fuck up, that shit is all around the world and it spreads like wildfire. You do something, somebody puts something, somebody says something, I go to school, I'm looking at everybody whispering, flipping out tapes and all that stuff, recordings, you know, people, because children are mean. So, you know, people, you know, teenagers might have sex tapes with them out there because people just do cruel shit.
Yeah, well, not having Facebook doesn't really mitigate that shit.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, that kind of stuff can happen to you either way. I think it's more, in my opinion, it's less about the viralness of Facebook's experience and videos are gonna get out and da 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 da, and it's more about now we know the downside.
Right.
Like, these kids have now lived, there's been enough time of social media in our society to know it ain't all good.
Mm-mm.
And like I said, we cannot keep skipping over these studies. The studies keep talking, it's depression, it's this, it's isolation, it's that. Like, it's been out long enough to study the effects. I can see how some kids will be like, I don't want to do it. And then hopefully, it's also probably getting a little bit whack to kids.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
Facebook might not be the one now. It might be Snapchat, or it might not be Snapchat. It might be some new shit. So it's not necessarily that they're not online. They just may not be there, you
right.
know, because also your family's there now, your mom's there.
Right.
Your
right.
school. Like, it's not necessarily the thing it was when it first started. This young hip happened in place, you know, that's not that virtually anymore.
I do agree with you on that. You know, when you on it with your grandma, they're like, you know, what the hell am I doing here with grandma?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I see June said maybe it's the data and the way they use folks, you know, personal data and shit, maybe, but I my guess is it's not that.
Mm-mm.
To be honest, I don't think kids really giving more of a fuck about that than we did. I really
right.
just think it's probably not the best place to be online anymore. And then even when you're online or whatever, it's not always a healthy place to be there. And now these kids are kind of getting to know that, you know.
Agreed.
In a way that a lot of us didn't. It was just a new thing. Let's hop on it, you know. And now it's like, did you know Twitter makes people want to kill themselves? It's like, oh wait a minute, what?
Nobody told me this.
Yeah. But yeah, so this is a lot of stuff. Yeah, and that's not to say that stuff, you know, the hackings, the fake news articles and misinformation and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all that stuff adds up, all that stuff counts, and I bet these kids are kind of fucked up off of it, and they're seeing how fucked up it is, what it does to the news cycle. I mean, people basically, a lot of people are saying the election is because of Facebook, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and I'll see you as the Blackout to his guest.
Oh, that's why. Okay, I log out and come back on.
Okay,
that makes more sense now. I didn't know. My bad.
Okay. All right. Well. But yeah, I'll invite you when you get back. So, and it still has a ton of users and stuff. So, but yeah, seeing AOC get off of there, I'm not surprised, man. Literally was just talking about it. She said, I actually think the social media poses a public health risk to everybody. There are amplified impacts for young people, particularly children under the age of 3 with screen time. But I think it has a lot of effects on older people. I think it has effects on everybody. Increased isolation, depression, anxiety, addiction, escapism. She writes all her own tweets and Instagram posts. See? I told you, she don't have a team. These people are doing this. Like, maybe they run it through somebody so there's not spell errors and shit, but.
Right.
Like, they don't have a team. That's why, you know, like, that's why I'm like, it has to be wearing them down, because they are seeing this shit.
Yes.
Like, every once in a while, you see me hop on Twitter on the weekends, but for the most part, I take consumption of content. When it comes to consumption and reading, I take the weekends off, so. Yep. All right, let's see what else we got. Shout out to Nancy Pelosi. Everybody was demanding all these statements and all this stuff from Nancy Pelosi. They wanted the right kind of tweet, the hashtag I stand with Ilhan and all this shit, which you know, that's cute. But Nancy Pelosi actually went and got Ilhan some actual physical security.
Right.
Following the president's tweet, I spoke with the sergeant at arms to ensure that Capitol Police are conducting a security assessment to safeguard Congresswoman Omar, her family, and her staff. They will continue to monitor and address the threats she faces. The president's words weigh a ton, and his hateful and inflammatory rhetoric creates real danger. President Trump must take down his disrespectful and dangerous video. Yeah, and it's so wild because, and this is what I was saying also yesterday, because these motherfuckers exist only on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
they have now, in their level of self-importance is so great, they have aggrandized themselves so much that they think a fucking tweet is actual work. Like, yo, I hashtag stand with Ilhan, so therefore I am protecting her as a woman. And it's like, mm-hmm. you didn't do shit. You didn't leave your house. Mm-hmm. You didn't help nobody.
If a bullet gets shot or somebody come with a knife, that tweet is not going to protect her.
Yeah, it was such a ridiculous thing to even say and to try to put out there as, and if a politician won't say this, then he isn't. It's like, dog, that's not real.
No, that's not.
So what are you doing? Like, this is real. Like, let's get some actual security people up in here. Cause the only thing y'all gonna do is hashtag memorialize her when something happened to
right.
her. And what do we do to keep something from happening to her? Cause the tweet not it. Like, all these weird ass litmus tests. And it's sad because I saw people kind of like going on Twitter acting like, no, I'm being the one who was really concerned. Well, I was performative ass shit, but it's like, and then going like, the rest of you, you know, if you think that this is I shouldn't care about this and because the primaries haven't started or whatever, I'm like, dog, this ain't about the primary.
Come on now.
The fact that you turned her safety into a litmus test for who to vote for is the fucking problem. It's
it is.
Self-absorbed. Do you actually care, or do you just think you can like make this a way to hate on your least favorite candidate? It's so stupid.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where, oh, you're missing the point.
Right. I don't see you on screen. Do y'all see Karen on screen?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm working my baby back in.
Okay, all right, cool. Let me go to the next thing.
Go ahead.
So someone sent a comment to us about Michael Jackson saying that, you know, we need to get the real facts. And that you know, we don't we shouldn't be jumping to conclusions, and that the Leaving Neverland documentary was proven false and HBO took it down and Oprah Winfrey backed off of it. So I watched The Daily Show last week.
Mm-hmm.
They interviewed Oprah Winfrey.
Yes, they did.
It was after the lies came out about this documentary being taken down, which it wasn't. It's on HBO Go right now, as is The Inventor, which is another documentary they just put out, and it's not on the next two weeks of HBO, which you can go search your TV guide to see if it's coming back on. Inventor's not coming back on. Leaving Neverland's not coming on. It already ran for the month or whatever it was out, but you can still see it on demand on HBO Go or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not backing off the documentary. They didn't say we're done with it, where this was wrong. Oprah is not backing off of it. She got interviewed and asked about this by Trevor Noah, and she doubled down. Okay, now the biggest thing it seems that these people are trying to harp on with the, you just gotta throw the whole documentary away, it's like, oh, it's like MJ didn't do nothing, is that one of the accusers is he said that he was sexually assaulted in a certain area of the house, and according to paperwork, that area of the house wasn't fully constructed until like 2 years after the abuse was supposed to have stopped. And so it's like, well, clearly this is all lies. The article that was being spread is so funny. There's three areas here. One was a news station that's not very credible. Another was a hip hop website that's not very credible. And the third was this author who wrote this piece to be like, see, he's innocent. Michael Jackson didn't do these things. And I went and found a YouTube video of that same author on CNN as a talking head, and he was also proclaiming innocence of another celebrity accused of sexual assault at the time, Jerry Sandusky,
who's in jail right now,
who definitely did that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying this man is innocent. So it's funny to me what people will accept as the facts. You didn't even fact check this thing that is saying is clearly this didn't happen. He had we had one misrepresentation here, we had one misremembering. Clearly this man is innocent. Michael Jackson, by his own words, say he slept in the bed with children.
Yes, he did.
With young boys. There's no other human being on this fucking planet alive today as a grown ass man that you would say did that and go, but there is nothing predatory about that at all. There's nothing just like scandalous about that at all. He's the only human being I ever seen people make that dumbass argument for. That's a ridiculous argument. There's nobody you trust like that with your kids, unless it's you. Unless it's like, oh, my husband sleeps in the bed with our kids. Okay. If some strange nigga want to sleep in the fucking bed with your kid, you cool with that? Yeah, like, I found that to be so ridiculous.
Can y'all see me?
No, I do not see you.
Me either.
I don't even see the camera option thing on.
Same. Okay, let me turn it on. I don't know why it went off.
Okay. But yeah, it was just such a ridiculous thing to see, for us to receive as a comment. I don't care that y'all niggas like, Michael Jackson. I've been told you. Listen to Thriller all you want. That's your conscience. And I'm not saying that as a loaded term of like, your conscience is fucked up and you a bad person. I consume things by people who are fucked up.
Yep.
All of us do. Anyone tells you different is a motherfucking liar.
Ain't that old?
So just accept that this person is fucked up and you happen to be a fan of their work. Accept it. It's easier for everybody if you do. Because if not, you find yourself saying foolish shit like, this man who admittedly sleeps in the bed with fucking children that aren't his is completely goddamn innocent. It makes no sense. So I found this article. It's 10 undeniable facts about the Michael Jackson sexual abuse allegations. It's in Vanity Fair, which I think is a reputable spot. You are on camera now, Karen.
Okay. See.
Let's see. One, there is no dispute that at age 34, Michael Jackson slept more than 30 nights in a row in the same bed with 13-year-old Jordy Chandler at the boy's house with Chandler's mother present. He also slept in the same bed with Jordy Chandler at Chandler's father's house. The parents were divorced. Number two, so far five boys Michael Jackson shared bed with have accused him of abuse. Five. We saw two of them and people went, these motherfuckers are lying, just because they could not handle. They think if we can handle everyone that comes forward, because let me tell you something, a little surprise, because some people go, well, no, these two are lying, but you know, he may have done it with the other ones. Yeah, if those other people do documentaries and come out with their names, guess what's going to miraculously, coincidentally happen for every last one of you motherfuckers that think that these two guys are lying? You're going to think they lying too.
Right.
You are. You just like the people that go, some of the people that accuse Bill Cosby had to be lying. Why do you even know that? Which ones? Why would you even say that? What would that have anything to do with? I mean, just the odds of it. Well, going by the odds, most allegations are true. Not just most, but the vast majority are true.
Yes, the vast majority are.
So then why are we parsing? Because that means he definitely did a bunch of them. So now what are we even talking about? Nah, you want to get caught up on the semantics so you can like this person.
Ain't nobody telling you can't like him.
Right.
But just, it's okay to like the shit that somebody does and go, you're a piece of shit.
Right. Number three, Jackson paid $25 million to settle Chandler's lawsuit with $18 million going to Jordan, $2.5 million to each of his parents and the rest of lawyers. Jackson said he paid that sum to avoid something long and drawn out. Francia also received $2.4 million from Jackson. which is probably why they don't have documentaries. I'm sure they had to sign some paperwork on that shit. Number four, Michael Jackson suffered from the skin discoloration disease vitiligo. Jordy Chandler drew a picture of the markings on the underside of Jackson's penis. His drawings were sealed in an envelope. A few months later, investigators photographed Jackson's genitalia. The photographs matched the drawings. What the fuck are y'all talking about? What the fuck are y'all talking about? How would that kid know that shit? Like, that's so ridiculous. And the fact that a kid has spent that much time around someone's genitals to be able to fucking draw it and be like, this splotch goes here? What, are you crazy? But it's just a big frame up job. They just trying to get money from him or something. The hallway leading to his bedroom was a serious security zone covered by video and wired for sound so the steps of anyone approaching would make ding dong sounds. It's in the documentary, but also proven innocent, guys. He clearly didn't do it. Jackson had a number six. He had an extensive collection of adult erotic material he kept in a suitcase next to his bed, including S&M bondage photos and study of naked boys. Forensic experts with experience in the Secret Service found fingerprints of the boys alongside Jackson's on the same pages. Jackson also had bondage sculptures of women with ball gags in their mouths on his desk in full view of the boys who slept there. Why the fuck is that in your bedroom, grown man who has children in his house? You're the one talking, I'm so childlike. Why don't y'all have like matching race car beds or bunk beds or some shit? Why doesn't your house look like the inside of the mansion from Toy? Like, what the fuck? This don't sound like a kid's playhouse. What is this? Like, I hate to go into these details to be honest, because this really should be readily fucking apparent to everybody. This is not okay. But yet here the fuck we are. Don't email me with no stupid shit. Come on now. We not this show. This isn't a maybe he didn't do a show. He did this shit. And people go, well, I mean, the feds came after him and they didn't get him. So, I mean, if the feds don't get you, you know, I don't know. He's a fucking billionaire. I don't know. Like, I love that shit. It's like, I mean, clearly. Like, oh yes, well, obviously rich people and justice in court. That goes one in one. If you're rich, it doesn't matter. Number seven, according to the Neverland staff interview, by Santa Barbara authorities, no one ever saw or knew of a woman spending the night with Michael Jackson, including his two spouses, Debbie Rowe or Lisa Marie Presley. Rowe, the mother of two of Jackson's children, made it clear to the Santa Barbara authorities that she never had sex with Jackson. So all the, well, you know, he got some kids. Does he? Number eight, the parents of boys Jackson shared beds with were courted assiduously and given a myriad of expensive gifts. This is why I talk about he groomed the family.
Oh, yes.
You know, Wade Robson's mother testified in 2005 trial that she funneled wages through Jackson's company and was given a permanent residence visa. Jimmy Safechek's parents got a house. Jordy Chandler's mother got a diamond bracelet. Number nine, two of the fathers of those who were accused of Jackson committed suicide. Both were estranged from their sons at the time. And number 10, in a 2002 documentary, Living with Michael Jackson, Jackson told Martin Bashir there was nothing wrong with sharing his bed with boys. So, yeah, man. Please get off that bullshit. Hopefully that's enough. That's 10 things that you can't dispute. Hopefully that's enough for y'all to be like, just cause a nigga made human nature, I don't have to sit up here and write in emails to people's podcasts like, y'all need to get the facts. Well, there's some facts. I was trying to spare you the facts earlier. Just accept that when we say certain shit, I'm gonna need people to accept that we have thought about it. Sometimes you just gotta be like, I think.
Right, act like we said this shit for the first time ever. Not all the time.
I got a long email today about Bernie Sanders because we talked about him yesterday. It's funny because people went, yeah, I knew you were gonna get that email. And I'm like, right, because they can't help themselves. His fans cannot help themselves. I won't read it on the air. It's way too long. But then two, I didn't come to my conclusions lightly. The way I feel about Bernie Sanders has been formed over the last 3 to 4 years. Not just as of yesterday.
Right. And like I said, Roderick is a lot more reasonable than I am. I'm somewhat reasonable, but I'm very unreasonable when it comes to him. I got my feelings about him because of other things, but that's just me personally.
Well, we've been light on him since 2016, really. Like, I have been light on that man. I don't talk about that dude very often. Mm-hmm. And when I do talk about him, I try to just be like, this is what's happening with him. Yesterday, it was just such a hypocritical moment where he somehow gets to be a millionaire and then the 1%, but it's different than all these other people. And we got to trust his motives because it's him. But all these other people, he's been questioning their motives, calling them corrupt just for being rich. Nobody else got that pass. Democrat, Republican, it didn't matter to him. Everybody was corrupt except for him. Didn't matter how they came up on that money. You got some money. You don't vote for them, vote for me. And it turns out most of it was just fucking framing. You know? But I can tell you a bunch of other reasons I don't really fuck with that dude. Don't turn our podcast into the Fuck Bernie Sanders podcast, because it can easily go there. And then feelings gonna be hurt because motherfuckers really take it serious. That for some reason their attachment to that dude is so fucking serious. And I'm not one of them Negroes that's into that shit.
Mm-mm.
So let's just keep it nice. If you want to know how I feel about them, go listen to some old episodes.
Mm-hmm. We got plenty of them out
plenty
there.
Of them. Plenty motherfucking of them.
Plenty of them. And a lot of my issues, I'm going to keep it real, is not probably less with Bernie Sanders and his ideas and shit like that. A lot of my problems with Bernie Sanders stems from the stands. And my anger at them coincide makes me mad at him, because
I get mad because I was harassed by them,
right?
Doxed by them. You can still search my government name on Twitter and see them talking about me. But you know, when they talked about me a few years back, no, I'm not doing that.
No, we
so
are not.
So yeah, so I nip it in the bud. I'm like, hey, don't do this.
Yeah, please don't do this, baby. I'm, you know, and like I said, we're being really, really nice. Like this right here is us being really nice and sweet and cordial, you know, because you know if we get on a roll, it won't be pretty. So it's fine if you want to vote for Bernie. Ain't nobody telling you you can't. And that's the thing, nobody's telling Bernie Sanders fans you can't support him. Nobody's telling you that you can't have his back and you can't. No, that's not the problem. The problem is that a large percentage of people in that group tells you why you should vote for him, and then act like there's something wrong with you if you have a problem with him. And that's the problem, everybody. Don't smack me just because I don't like your candidate.
Yeah, I don't want to turn our podcast into litigating any of those fucking candidates.
Mm-mm.
Him, right. Him included.
No, none of them.
It's funny how that gets ignored. It's funny how me saying I'm going to vote for whoever wins that primary gets ignored when it comes to him. When we talked about Kamala Harris, did anyone email us?
No.
Everybody understood, hey, this is the topic of the day. They'll be moving on to some shit tomorrow. We don't need to be stuck here. I don't know if it's just something in the water and motherfuckers are just like, now's the time to cape for Michael Jackson. Now's the time to write in and disagree about Bernie Sanders. Hey, man, let's not. Let's keep having a fun time.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to turn this into the let's roast these motherfuckers hour. I know there's a lot of people that enjoy that shit, but I really don't, to be frank. So, anyway, good luck to him.
Right.
And he's stunting on us now with these millions of dollars and whatnot. I expect him to probably like maybe iron a shirt now, you know, maybe go to an actual salon. I mean, you can afford it, dog. You got it now. Go ahead and step your game up, Bernie. Maybe you can look slick. You get some extra votes with right. Them racist Trump people you about to go campaign to on the Fox News on Fox News soon.
Right. Don't look so disheveled. And like I said, my thing is, if he wins the candidacy, my black ass will be voting for him. I don't give a fuck. It's anybody but Trump. I say it and I mean it. I've said it and I will say it again. I don't give a fuck. We can actually get to the end as far as I'm concerned right now. Fuck it.
None of these niggas are above reproach and none of them are above criticism, including him. So everybody else seems to be able to take it with their candidate.
Right.
Don't do this. Don't do this. Cause that was my thing with Hillary. When anytime we had something to say about Hillary, good or bad, we didn't have to get a whole bunch of fucking emails shitting on us. it's only with Bernie that we become so misinformed, and we just need to understand. No, we do understand. We are just, here's another thing, because people always do this, like, I normally, you guys are so, we are, okay, normally you guys are so, you fill in the blank, right? You're so intelligent, you're so nuanced, you're so thoughtful, you're so educated, you're so articulate, you're so, but today, on the thing I disagree with you about, no. Let me tell you something. If 99% of the time you listen to this show and you go, those motherfuckers at least know what they talking about, they don't just get up there and half-ass it, and then on the one thing that you disagree with us about, all of a sudden we're no longer those things, it's you. I am just as smart as I was yesterday, and I'm just as smart as I'm gonna be tomorrow, if not smarter. That's just how that smart shit works, right? You get a little smarter every day, hopefully. It's not us. We don't come to this shit lightly, so it's okay to disagree and move on, that's right. Cool, but just understand, we didn't get stupid overnight and go, when it comes to Bernie, I'm just a dumbass. No, thought about it, read it, understood what I find to be fraudulent about that man, and I'm keeping it light, if we're being honest. Kept it light on Mike, then we had to go to these facts. Let's just keep it light. Trust me. If you don't trust us, just think we stupid and don't write in. Be like, oh, they so stupid, and don't write in. Then you can keep your ego and feel smarter than us. That way you can be like, they normally smart, but I'm smarter than them today. Hey, take the win.
Right. And also,
not fight about it.
And also, there's a lot of people that disagree with us. They're right in, that actually disagree with us reasonably and rationally, and we can kind of have a back and forth with them.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. I don't want to. I told people before, not with these candidates.
No, not with the candidates.
I cannot emphasize this enough. I'm not doing 2016 again. And baby, it's funny. If I sent you this email, you would be like, what am I supposed to read? A chapter of a book? What is this?
Oh no, I'm not reading a chapter of a book.
Like, it's something within you to make you have to write all that shit about this man. It's not worth it.
No, it's not. It's and my thing is, how can I phrase this? Me and Roger talked about this. I don't want a repeat of the election last time. We will talk about things, we will discuss things, but when it comes to certain things, we're not going down certain roads. We've already determined that, because there are more important things to talk and discuss about that people actually care about. And the thing is, you know, if something happens and we have to talk about Bernie Sanders, so be it. But when we talk about him, like Roger said, we're not coming from an ignorant place, we're not coming from a dumb place. You know, there are things about him, his policy, we don't agree with. Like right to say, I'm filtering myself a lot to actually keep it cute and to keep it nice. But like I say, don't write us chapters and chapters and chapters and chapters and chapters. Start your own fucking Bernie podcast and move on.
Yeah, the every episode of our regular feed show, it has a corresponding post on our website where you can go look it up, and the episodes are free. Like, you can listen to them. It's not like the premium stuff, but it's free. You have to stream it from the website. Shout out to marketing. Go get that traffic. Need them clicks.
Come on.
But the point being, you can get it from our website, theblackoutist.com. We've covered this already. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing 2016 again for nobody.
Mm-mm.
So everybody gonna have to get over our opinions on shit. I listen to podcasts probably more than anybody that listened to us. I listen to more podcasts than pretty much any of our listeners.
Same.
And at the same time, you know what I don't do? Spend all day writing in to be like, I heard what you said about Kamala Harris, and what about, who gives a fuck? That's their opinion. That's their opinion. They get up there, they give their opinion to the listeners, and that's fine. I'm not trying to educate their opinion on what candidates they like. You know, it's not really how this shit works. So yeah, and then the email wasn't mean or anything, you know. Mm-hmm. But a bunch of these emails started that kind of condescending. You guys are normally so smart, but not today. Like, get out of here. Just get to the point and tell me that you disagree with whatever, and let's move on, you know. Anyway, and I'm sparing the people on the the listeners these long, because they don't like listening to us read fucking 10 minutes of long ass like diatribes on shit either. They don't like that shit either. I'll be seeing them in the chat like, damn, how long is this? Is this person crazy? They don't like it. We don't like doing it. And it kind of brings everything down. Yes, and it turns into like a mean thing where we're being mean to the person. And I don't want to do that to y'all.
Nope.
Have your opinion. It's cool. College grads sell stakes in themselves to Wall Street. Speaking of Bernie, get on this. Need some help. So people are now apparently college graduates who become like stars in their field and stuff are selling their future by letting people invest in their education, and then they give them a cut of their earnings for the rest, for however long they, you know, for a certain amount of time, almost like a car payment. Yeah, if the 23-year-old, let's see, if the 23-year-old becomes a star in her field, she could pay twice as much. If she loses her job, she won't have to pay anything. Investors will be out of luck until she finds work. Robleski is one person, struck this unusual deal as an undergraduate of the public Purdue University in West Lafayette, Indiana, to fund part of the cost of her degree in strategy and organizational management. She sidestepped the common source of money, a student loan. Instead, she agreed to hand over part of her future earnings through a new kind of financial instrument called an income sharing agreement, or ISA. And since financiers are transforming student debtors into stock investments with much of the same risk and ideally return. In Wall Street terms, Robleski, a first generation college student, is more small company stock than Microsoft. Her mother works as a waitress. Her father is a quality control inspector at a car dealership body shop with a strong work ethic. Robleski always held down at least two part-time jobs at school, working as a Purdue teaching assistant, a Target cashier, and an Amazon seasonal worker. Showing potential for leadership, not to mention earnings, she rose to vice president of Delta Sigma Pi, a business fraternity. Those qualities impressed a company called Venmo Education, which vets students at Purdue and a handful of other schools on behalf of potential investors. More important, perhaps Robleski believes in herself and her ability to make good on the contract. Even with all my other loans, I knew I could make it work. This is like how Obama and them was like, no more selling credit cards on campus to kids. This is like if your future was the credit card.
Right. Because nobody knows what your future gonna hold, baby. Not even you.
Wow. That's wild, man.
And I can see this going terribly wrong.
Yeah. Wow,
this shit sound real good till the economy turns. You can't find a job, that means they don't get their money back. Like, you know, can they sue? Like how does this work?
Holy crap, man. Yeah,
you know, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry,
what are you gonna say?
Oh, I'm about to say, yeah, it just sounds wild to say I have enough confidence in me that I know.
But all kids think that.
Right.
Like, who wouldn't take this deal? If you a kid, that's why we all got those fucking credit cards when we're 17 to 18 right away. Cause it's like, ooh, a credit card. I gotta get one. And they're like, well, the interest rate is 1,000,000,000% after this amount of time, but no interest for this. Oh, I'll have it. It's a credit card.
Cause you don't actually know, and you're not really thinking about the future. Who said you gonna get a job? Like, right. How do you know the job market could change? Anything could happen. Your degree and field could be hot now. By the time you graduated, it could be cold.
Right. I mean, I can't imagine they don't want you to be able to sign up for a credit card at this age on your campus because they know you're gonna make a bad decision.
Right. Why would you allow this?
It's basically predatory lending. But now you're doing that with education. It's educational predatory lending.
And let me tell you what's fucked up about this. Make it where more people can get grants and scholarships. Make it where people can pay student loans back and you wouldn't have this problem.
But for Wall Street, that's not a return on investment. For an investor, why would I set up a grant or a scholarship fund? No, I don't get nothing for that.
No. The system is broken, and that's how you end up getting this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But the system is broken with student loans, too.
Correct.
Like, they're not giving anything away for free.
No.
You know, you gotta really get lucky to get these scholarships and stuff. Speaking of which, I forgot to tell you, but Sunday night I actually made my last payment on my student loan. So now,
nigga,
yeah, I paid off your student loan last year, and I paid off mine this Sunday night. So
that's what I'm talking about.
No more student loans for us. You know, now that we 40.
Now that we motherfucking 40.
But some people, man, we still fortunate. It's some people that don't even pay them off before then.
Mm-mm.
You know, it's some people that are gonna have that debt their whole lives. It's some people that,
yeah, that's what some people
they
say,
borrowed more than us. They caught school costs more than us. Mm-hmm. So we really lucked out to even be able to do that at this age. So I'm thankful for it.
Right.
But yeah, when you think about just what a burden it was paying that off, losing jobs and having to get deferments and forbearance.
Come on, my nigga.
And then to turn around and be like, okay, we paid it off by overpaying like every month for X amount of months. And then to think like there's people that are really going to be getting like their check deducted by somebody when they get a job. It's going to be like, all right, $300 goes to us every month.
Like fucking child support without a child.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. This is crazy.
That shit is scary.
Yeah, ISA has raised all kinds of questions. How many students will lose their jobs and be unable to pay?
Right.
How much should Wall Street demand as compensation for the risk? Investors typically ask for a smaller slice from the student with more lucrative majors. At Purdue, for example, English majors borrowing $10,000 pay 4.5% of their future income over the nearly 10 years. Chemical engineers pay 2.57 in a bit over 7 years. What if you want to switch majors?
Right. I mean, you're college students. This shit changes. You be like, I won't do this. You get there, but, oh, this shit too hard. I don't like this shit. Next thing you know, you're another major. So all of a sudden, y'all got to go and renegotiate. Do they be like, well, we've invested this much, we want our money back?
They also, they've tried this before. The last big ISA experiment at Yale University in the 1970s ended up as a cautionary tale. Yale pulled all borrowers and they owed the school a percentage of their incomes for 35 years, or until everyone paid back what they owed. The idea was that graduates who end up with a high paying job in finance would subsidize those who chose public service. But many students defaulted, leaving the remaining borrowers on the hook longer than they anticipated. Other wealthier students exited the pools via large one-time buyout payments. The remaining students tended to be lower income. Some stopped paying altogether. Yale ultimately bailed out the borrowers, winding down the whole program in 2001.
Right. It just sounds like it's something that would crash, because you're talking about young people who make bad choices, make bad decisions. They people change. I know I changed my degree, my field. You change your field, like, yeah. And a lot of people default because they can't afford it. Like, nobody knows what the future's gonna hold.
Yeah, the other thing that I think is interesting is, you know, that in 2001 they just said, fuck it, everybody, you know, we're bailing you out. That's still potentially 31 years that those loans were held over those people's heads. The stress that induces and all that stuff, like,
a 35 year loan, dog. Mm-hmm. Ain't that longer than what they do for homes?
Right, and that means because most of the people that were left were the lower income people, y'all were deducting out of their checks for 30 years or whatever until y'all decided, okay, fuck it, you can just, don't worry about it. I don't know, I just thought it was interesting. Students have more protection under the newer plans. Purdue, for example, caps total payments at 2.5 times what a student borrowed, so the most successful ones don't feel gouged. 2.5 times what they borrow. Wow. And students making less than $20,000 a year won't be charged at all as long as they're working full-time or seeking work. Those who are working part-time or not seeking work will only have their payments deferred, which means that they'll owe for a longer period of time. Also, $20,000 or less, that's actually not that low a floor. You know, like, pretty much any job you get with a college degree from Purdue, you're probably going to make more than 20. So there's probably not going to be very many people that fall into this category.
All right. And the thing is, I guess I just, because of how America functions, I wonder how many what's your demographic of people, like, who are you targeting? Mm-hmm. Are you targeting based on sex, race, like, are you like you know, because they're investors, so the investors,
now that's a great question. I would like to know the answer to that too.
Right, the investors gonna, it's like anything else, when I'm looking and I want to invest in something, I go, what thing do I have the higher possibility of getting a return on investment? A white straight male. Well, then that's where my money's going to go.
Well, see, that's the thing though. So I'm thinking the opposite of that. I don't think that they are going to just be like, let's give these deals only to white people or white men. I'm more worried that they go, let's give these deals to a bunch of brown people that we know won't be able to pay it back. But if they can pay it back, we're essentially balloon paymenting their education, where they said
too,
they even said they cap it at 2.5 times the value of the education, so of the money they gave you. So they're saying you will not have to pay, you will never pay more than 250% of what you borrow. That's still a lot.
Yes, that is.
So it's like, oh, don't worry, if you borrowed $100,000, we'll you won't have to repay us more than $250,000. That's a lot of money.
That's a fucking house.
So imagine if you're black and you're like, this is the only way I can afford college is through this fucking, like, you know, high interest loan.
Right. And so you get in a situation like that, baby, you staying with your mama and them forever, because, like, you're literally paying house payments and car payments for some shit that you will never fucking own.
Yeah, like, I didn't read that wrong. Purdue, for example, caps total payments at 2.5 times what a student borrowed. That's ridiculous.
Right?
What does that mean?
What's the difference between this and the check cash in places?
And of course, the people that have money can just kind of pay a balloon payment right away and be like, I'm out.
Right, and that's what they were saying people right. were doing. People were saying, well, I just pay one lump sum, you either take it or leave it.
Holy shit, man, we are in so much trouble in this country.
That's not gonna end well at all.
And that's why we need Bernie to get in there and challenge Wall Street and help people get free education and amnesty on student loans. Okay,
I mean, if he can do it, I'm here for it.
Okay, we love Bernie over here. Now stop, don't write us no more. Okay, been very nice to this man this year, and I would hate to have to bring the evil out of me. We don't want that. Some of y'all do want that. I don't want that. All right, let's
like I said, you're nicer about it than me. We know.
Mm-hmm. As you keep saying, I'm picking up what you're putting down. All right, let's get to the next segment.
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. Time to play the game we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game we go all around the globe, find different articles, make us feel fucked with. The wheel sign point scores from 0 to 100, intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. What about the kids in Chicago?
What about them?
Well, Chicago prosecutor Kim Fox could begin expunging minor cannabis convictions in coming months.
Come on!
Kim Fox done said, I'm dropping the charges on Jesse. She said the motherfucking Fraternal Order of Police ain't shit, and now she's trying to get, is everything all right with her? Is she gonna be okay? Okay, because this is a lot of shaking.
I mean, she need protection.
I know it's Chicago, so somebody gonna write in soon and tell us why she ain't shit, but I mean, I guess this is some of that good prosecution that people be wanting to hear.
Come on.
But there's still questions exactly how her office will intend to go about executing the plan. Which she acknowledges herself is still being worked out. But they will pursue the expungement of all misdemeanor marijuana convictions. You know, so we'll see. I hope she's able to do that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the devil's in the details, and we don't know the details yet, so maybe we can go back, see how far this goes back. Like, you know, you gonna be letting people out from the 70s, or is this like the last few years, and all that type of stuff, and how's this gonna affect policing, because hopefully you won't prosecute any new misdemeanor cases either, so that the police will stop arresting niggas over nickel bags.
Come on.
0 to 100, Karen.
0.
I'm gonna give it 0 for now as well. Speaking of Chicago, Representative Bobby Rush says Chicago's police union is the sworn enemy of black people in defense of prosecutor Kim Fox. U.S. Representative Bobby Rush, activist Jamal Green, and other supporters defended Cook County prosecutor Kim Fox against the city's fraternal order of police, who they believe is on a witch hunt to take her down. The FOP is a sworn enemy of black people. The sworn enemy of black people, said Rush. The FOP has always taken the position that black people can be shot down in the street by members of the Chicago Police Department and suffer no consequences, Rush said. Let's be clear. Kim Fox, her battle is with the FOP and all of their cohorts. Fox has been heavily scrutinized for her office handling of the Smollett alleged fake hate crime case, which resulted in all 16 felony criminal charges dropped. The decision angered the city's fraternal order of police, police superintendent, and the mayor. Look, she got all the right people pissed off. I don't know how y'all gonna tell me the swerve is that she's whack, but whatever it is must be amazing, because this shit sounds exactly like what the fuck I would have voted for. Like, drop them charges against Jesse. No, I don't care that he did it. Don't care.
Right, because if I take it to court, like, she looked like, I saw what y'all gave me, and no, we can't prosecute this.
Like, I know some black people still holding out hope that it's an elaborate setup on Jesse. I don't care. No, I don't think it was a setup or a hoax on him. I do think he was involved.
But don't
I don't think he need to go to prison.
Right.
He lost $10,000. He got community service. End of discussion.
The end.
Rahm Emanuel, the governor of fucking Chicago, talking about like, this nigga will never work again. Any company that hires him will lose tax exemptions. Is that even legal? What is wrong with y'all?
Right.
Why this nigga? Yeah, the last, it's like Bo said on the right time, man. They just want to make sure no black person ever gets away with anything. That's the main thing they concerned with. And Kim Fox is out here like, it's real, like, problems and shit that I have to deal with.
Real problems, and y'all bringing this bullshit to my desk.
Keep this same energy with these murders and getting some, and solving these crimes in the city. Keep that energy. Also the other optics of this that I appreciate is, these black men activists and politicians coming out to defend her and be like, yo, we on her side, and this is obviously an attack on her, and this is clearly what's happening.
And to an extent, they kind of have documented proof, because they paid billions of dollars last year to a lot of black families because they're out here fucking them up.
Right. On Saturday, during a speech at Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr.'s Rainbow Push Coalition, Fox suggested that the rap has much to do with her race. I've been asking myself up for the last 2 weeks, what is this really about? This is personal. There are rumors that during the protest that where hundreds of people attended, white nationalists were in the mix protesting along with the police union. The injection of white nationalism in this conversation, for me, I will tell you personally, I was afraid. I would certainly hope that the FOP or whatever their disagreements with me may be, whatever concerns they may have about my ability on leadership, would at least expect the people of their union to not inject racism or white nationalists into the conversation. These are the people that are policing or supporting the police of Chicago, this black city. And people wonder why there's an exodus of black people from that city. Anyway, 0 to 100, Karen.
100, because I don't know much, but it's probably expensive as fuck to live there anyway.
Yeah, that one's 100, but I would say for the headliner, for the people that are talking, 0 for them. 0 for the people that are fighting back, the brothers that have her back. 0 for them, but obviously 100 I feel fucked with, because she's just trying to do her job.
Just trying to do her job.
And the voting populace of Chicago seems to have spoken, getting Rahm out of there. They don't want him and his corrupt policing and that force over them anymore. And like I said, I don't know all the details about this woman. I'm sure something's gonna pop up and it's gonna be like, and this is why we can't fuck with her, because it happens with every black politician or prominent part figure at some point. But my point being, people clearly are getting what they voted for. In this situation, you're getting somebody who's like, I don't want to like put niggas in jail over penny any crimes. And the police is like, you are a shock to the system. Fuck you and fuck all of this. Chicago's new mayor changes her tune on Jussie Smollett case. This doesn't rank as a matter of importance. Now this is important because she is a openly LGBT mayor of Chicago, black woman, the first. And people were like, yo, her first statement on Jussie Smollett was kind of like harsh. And it's like, what are you doing? You know, like, are you really agreeing with Rahm Emanuel on this? And I guess the backlash was so strong, she backed off. On Friday, she released a statement. She said, I'm not going to comment on any pending litigation. Obviously, this was a decision that was made by the current mayor, Rahm Emanuel. We got a lot of things on our plate, a lot of pressing issues that are truly affecting people's lives. This doesn't rank as a matter of any importance to me. So I guess she eased up.
Yeah, because people was like, we voted for you for a reason.
Yeah, because earlier she had said the state's attorney office here, which made the decision unilaterally to drop the charges, has to give a much more fulsome answer, explanation. We cannot create the perception that if you're rich or famous or both, that you get one set of justice, and for everybody else it's something much harsher. That won't do, and we need to make sure that we have a criminal justice system that has integrity.
Oh, no wonder why they got on their ass. They mm-hmm. was like, the bitch we just put you fresh in the office. The fuck?
Right. She continued, I believe everybody's entitled to a presumption of innocence, but I saw, as I'm sure you and your listeners saw, a very compelling case of videotapes, witness statements, and other information that looked like he had staged a hoax. And if what that happened, he got to be held accountable. Yeah, I will say this much, man, because I think people are being a little too harsh on the black folks who are offended that he would have done something like this. I do understand the people that are like supremely offended, because people take that shit very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, you know, people are really out here being hate crimed and you out here fucking like playing at it.
Right.
I get why people would be offended. I really do.
Yes.
That being said, if your solution is, and then I need to throw you in the prison system, you lost me. I don't mind you being upset if Chris Rock wants to joke him. If there's people walking around like, man, fuck Jussie Smollett, I get how they got there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't say those things. I don't really necessarily feel that way, but I get how they got there.
Agreed.
I don't feel like you a coon because you think this mm-hmm. motherfucker, like what he did, was so egregious. I totally see how you could get that way. What I'm saying is that next step of, and this is why we got to make sure he goes to prison, is kind of fucking ridiculous. Even the felony he was charged with was a class 4 felony. It's not a serious crime.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not. Class 4 is low. It's not like class 1. So it was just kind of ridiculous that people were trying to turn it into something else.
Yeah, I hear felony, I was like, oh, that's serious.
Right. I mean, felonies are serious, but yes, I feel you. All right, so that was 0 to 100 for her changing her tune.
50.
Yeah, I think I'll give it I guess I'll give it a 50. I'm still fucked with that she was even mm-hmm. saying that shit in the first place.
Right, because the second statement should have been the first statement. Those decisions, regardless of how you feel, those decisions were made before I came into office, so I'm here now and we're going to take it moving forward.
All right, let's see. We'll do some guest erase. Where's my guest erase music?
Now that it's time for some guest erase. That's right, it's guest erase time. Now that it's time for some guest erase. That's right, it's guest erase time.
Boop.
That's right, it's time for guest the race, the number one game going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, Karen and the chat room, to guess the race. And of course, everyone playing is a racist. All right, let's get into the game, Karen. A fugitive taunts police on Facebook, reveals whereabouts, and then gets arrested. A woman wanted by police is behind bars after revealing her whereabouts in an online spat on the force's Facebook page. Chloe Jones, 23, of Waynesburg, Pennsylvania, was added to the Greene County Sheriff's Office top 10 wanted list last month after she failed to appear in court in connection with an assault charge. After spotting herself on the list in a Facebook post as officers hunted her, Jones commented, "Do you guys do pickup or delivery?" Her message was followed by 4 crying laughing emojis. Jones then became embroiled in an argument in the comment section over why she hadn't shown up for court in the first place, defending herself against Facebook users who accused her of immaturity. "There's nothing funny about seeing yourself on a wanted poster. It's embarrassing," one person wrote. "Turn yourself in. Be responsible. It's not too late to turn your life around." Jones replied on the public page that she hadn't made it to court because she had been in Ruby Memorial Hospital in Morgantown, West Virginia at the time. The fugitive added that she had posted her initial comment from there. Jones was arrested at a residence in Morgantown earlier this week. Interim Greene County Sheriff Marcus Sims described Facebook as a valuable asset and bringing wanted persons to justice.
"She did everything, but I checked in at the hospital."
Right. "Check my Yelp. 5-star review of this hospital." His office also posted an update on the case on the site Monday night to thank members of the public in Pennsylvania and West Virginia, along with many others, for sending them tips. Miss Chloe Jones and her witty comments are taking a hiatus from our Facebook comment section due to jail not having internet for her to use. Karen, guess the race of Chloe Jones.
Chloe Jones is white. Apparently they do pickup and delivery. They picked your ass up and delivered you to jail.
Yep. And hit that button for the tip. Black, profoundly black, "You's a dumb bitch white. She thought she was being cute." White, black, "You never catch me, coppers." But white. Chloe is a bold black chick. Chloe Jones is extra white. Has a collection of mugshots white. Shoulda used black planet white and black. The correct answer is, you guys are split down the middle on this one, it seems. Karen went with white. Mm-hmm. And the correct answer is white. Many of you missed it though. And that's her. She looks kind of happy for a mugshot. Mm-hmm. She's like, "I beat that bitch for ass and I deserve jail." Okay.
I do it again.
I'm on Facebook messing around.
Right. Mm-mm-mm. Turn my location on. Y'all got to come get me.
Oh, wait. I accidentally archived this. All right. Hold on. Let me go back. Bring up the next one. A former Utah Vice Squad lieutenant is arrested in a prostitution sting.
Oh, shit.
Well, I guess you gotta know your vice so that you can really get those johns, okay? Mm-hmm. How you expect me to catch these people if I'm not out here sampling the products? Okay. So a former police vice squad lieutenant was arrested Tuesday following a prostitution sting after investigators say he offered to manage women. Manage?
What the hell, pimp?
Sound like pimping to me.
Right. I might be wrong, but that sounds like pimping.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I'm the most street wise,
a savvy, come person. On. But when you say manage, I'm assuming that the money's gonna go to you and you gonna manage what happens to it.
Right. I'm not saying that I'm not saying I've lived the most street life, okay?
Because I have not.
Right. You know how, like, you know, there's a lot of people out here that have probably, you know, lived a lot harsher life than me, but he sounded like he was gonna pull up to this. "I don't know what you heard about me, but a bitch can't get a dollar out of me. No Cadillac, no perms you can't see. Then I'm a motherfucking B.I.M.B. Hop up in the rides, lady. Oh, hold on, let me turn off the siren. Woo, woo, woo. Which one of you bitches is coming with me tonight, okay?
Which one of y'all is named Peaches? I got a job for you.
Call me Officer Daddy, okay?
Come on, Officer Daddy, sir."
What? Dog, you can't be the Vice Squad president and the pimp.
I'm surprised the girls didn't recognize you. I think I know who that is.
Was he sitting over there the whole time arresting people like, you know what, though? it's a way to do this. You could make way more money and not even get caught. Man, that's crazy.
Mm-mm. Police officer and local bishop has been arrested over allegations of
he in the church too. He in the church too. A local bishop.
Was he pimping him in the church too?
I know. Hey, now come holler at me after the thing service. You want to, hey, do a little something strange, get a little change, you know what I'm saying?
Want to make some money?
I noticed that you ain't been tithing lately because you probably ain't got that extra money, but fuck with a nigga like me and you can get some of this money, y'all.
Ain't no sense of having a wet box and a broke purse.
Dry purse, but yes.
Exploitation and sexual battery after he was lured into an undercover office. This was on Valentine's Day.
His special Sandra Adams now with the store.
This ain't Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day, you supposed to be with your wife.
It began.
Maybe your kids. Like your family doing something.
It was on Valentine's Day.
His special Sandra Adams.
He was out looking for love in all the wrong places on Valentine's Day.
I don't know. They might be the right places.
I mean, life is a box of chocolates indeed.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-mm-mm. Oh, my bad. I shouldn't have paused it.
Come on, you good.
Give it a second. It's loading.
And then we'll get now with a story. It began as a trafficking sting in Utah County.
People are reaching out to you who are seeking the services of a prostitute.
Soon, cops were in contact online with username Pilot.
He initiated a discussion about managing them.
Investigators say the arranged meeting involved a demonstration.
He had to do what he called a cop check and do something that he believed that police couldn't do or wouldn't participate in. And he grabbed the arm and hand of one of the undercover detectives and placed it on his genitals.
Detectives are
He must have watched too much Blackstreet Hookers. That's not real life.
Mm-mm.
Turn off the movie, sir. And you a goddamn vice squad lieutenant and you ain't know that's not you didn't
you
know
you couldn't recognize your own work and it reported to you.
Let me see them titties, see if you really a cop. I mean, okay, sergeant. You do know that you going to jail, right? Oh damn, I didn't read the rule book. I thought that you could do that.
Sabrina, is that you?
Yeah.
I knew you looked kind of familiar.
I was watching an episode of Wire and they said that you can't show your pussy to me.
Arrested the man,
David Moss,
who turned out to have a notable history.
This distribution center that was, you know, here in southern Utah.
Moss was a lieutenant over St. George PD's vice squad in 2012, but was forced to resign over sexual misconduct allegations.
What?
More recently, he resurfaced as the director of the West Valley City Animal Shelter.
There's a few that we're going to have to take in for medical care, but most of them are in fairly decent shape.
Moss was also a bishop in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Aww.
It wasn't long after we knocked on his door.
Can't be here. Sorry, it's private property.
A neighbor rushed over to usher us away from his house in Lehigh.
He seems deceiving, but okay. It is. They're not home anyway, so.
The news was still too fresh to react.
No. I'll reserve comment. Thank you.
For now, cops say the trafficking investigation continues.
It's disappointing when you find somebody who either is or was in a position where they should be enforcing the law and protecting the public doing just the opposite of that.
Man, what? That's the neighbor of the year coming over to talk to the news for you.
They probably got tired. People probably been coming up there all day. They was like, I'm tired of these motherfuckers filming my neighborhood. Y'all got to go.
Let me go ahead and escort them off of his property real quick.
Okay, they don't fuck around and get a shot of my house. You got to go.
He's not here, guys, okay? Just leave him alone, please.
Well, detectives say Moss denied doing anything more than offering a business opportunity to the women. Meanwhile, West Valley says that Moss resigned his post there on Saturday. And a statement from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints says Moss has been relieved from his role as bishop. Back to you.
Andrew Adams live tonight. Andrew, thank you. New at 10.
A business opportunity.
Of that dick.
Is that what we calling this now?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to offer you a business opportunity.
That's what it's called now, business opportunity.
I'm just trying to help you make a little bit of money, baby, okay? I'm just saying, you roll with a player like me, I'm going to take care of you. Like, what? It's really a business. It's a joint investment in you, okay? That's all I'm trying to say. I'm just trying to help you out, baby. All right? I want to be your father. I want to be your... I want to be your brother. I want to be your lover. I want to be your best friend. Okay, I want to be your protector, your business partner, your investor, baby. I'm just trying to help you out, get you out of this situation. And if you look in the sky, what do you see? You see a bunch of stars. You see the sun, you see the moon, but see, can't none of them shine without the sun's light over there, baby. And I'm just trying to be the sunlight and let it sprinkle down a little bit of game in your ear real quick. What do you mean, can you see my badge number? Karen. Guess the race.
White.
Karen's going white. Let's check the chat room. I'm sorry, I know this is probably all over the place. Hold on. Let me
not to scroll up a little bit.
Oh my God. I don't even know where to start. they say pimping is dead. It's not dead. The cops is doing it, okay? I can't even get to this. I don't even know what you asked. Let me just scroll to the bottom. Let's see. Mr. White folks, the prophet named me pimp Bishop Don Blanco White. Nice, pretty young bitch. same soup, just reheated. Joseph Smith should have stopped his goofy ass white. Bishop Moss Don Juan, you understand me? The green is for the money and the gold is for the honey. Bishop Don Juan White. No Mark of Cain is a white man. You guys, all basically went white. I don't think anybody said black. Karen, you went white?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, the correct answer is white. Say bitch, don't worry about this badge, worry about this baton going up your ass, okay, if you don't get my money, all right? And if not, I'm gonna be back to arrest everybody, okay?
Don't worry about these handcuffs.
Oh my God.
Stick with me, girl, and you won't get handcuffed.
You ain't gotta worry about me bailing you out, because I'm just gonna sign you out, okay? You're gonna get released on your own recognizance. It's a whole little setup I got.
Ooh, I'm not trying to be funny. What hoe will follow that? You don't even look cool.
Well, you try to come down on Sergeant Lieutenant White folks, okay?
Yeah, I mean, you supposed to be protecting me. What is you gonna come out there? Everybody else got their cane. You gonna have a 2x4?
Bishop Don Detective Juan out here.
Come on, you supposed to be cool and shit. You don't come out there with a hammer, a chainsaw while they trying to be slick.
Pippin Sarge.
Come on. They gonna come up there talking to you and all that. He go on all, they gonna be with the cool music I choose you. He come out. They're like, the fuck is this, dog?
Oh my God. All right. Hold on. I have to pause.
Hoes don't hee haw, dog. They don't hee haw.
He gonna be rolling up the country road.
Come on. That's what he gonna be playing.
Got the horses in the back. Yay! Hey, bitch. Bitch, I know you better have my money. That's what I know. Okay.
That's gonna be his jam.
Oh my God. I cannot imagine the hoes he was trying to spit this business proposition to.
Come on. And that's how you end up getting the ones into the police, because I guarantee you any hoe worth her salt was like, that's a police officer.
Right. He looked like a police
he
officer.
He does.
Did they even have to sting him? And he rolled right up on the other cops. And I was like, don't we see you at the softball game?
Right. That's what I'm talking about. You don't even look cool.
Right. All right.
Come up and there with some plaid shirt on or some shit and some mom jeans. Them hoes looking like, the fuck is this?
What is he doing? Michael Jordan jeans on.
Right.
All
right.
Hold on. We gotta go to the next section. Hold on. Yeah, I know he was probably rolling up on them hoes with some different music.
Come on.
Almost heaven. What y'all bitches up to tonight? Ooh. Anybody want to hop in the back of this truck? This Ford F-350? And go get some Johns? Help me get this money? Got a little business proposition for you.
Him and the other pimps fight and go, I told my hoes they cannot go square dancing with y'all.
I'm just saying, ladies, okay? Ain't no reason to have a wet pussy and a dry satchel, okay?
Satchel!
Get out here and put on some spurs and let's get this money, mama.
Come on, let's giddy up. You know, all them other pimps was looking at him like, no.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. What a horrible looking pimp.
Right, that's what I'm talking about. Most women that have worked the street would look at him immediately and be like, no, not you.
He a rest haven for hoes. I know that much. All right. Oh, let's get to the bonus round. Karen is 2 for 2 so far.
I know.
See if you can keep it going.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
That's right. Double the points, double the race, and the bonus round against the race. So far, Karen is 2 for 2.
Woohoo! But
can she finish strong? Can she, guys?
I hope I can. Fingers crossed.
Take a poll of the room. Let's see. Y'all think she can finish strong?
I hope I can.
Creep convicted of breaking into a home, sucking on a sleeping woman's toes.
Oh
my God. The tomosexuals strike again. A California man is convicted of sucking on a sleeping woman's toes after breaking into her home, claiming to be a Zeus-like god sent to earth to seduce women.
Well, dog, why'd you break it in my home? Why'd you zap yourself here?
Only a Zeus-like god, Zeus, who was mostly a rapist, would think seducing a woman would start with the toes. You know? Like, I think you just wanted to suck some toes, sir. Okay? I don't think that's in the playbook for seduction at all.
Mm-mm.
See, you start by sucking on their toes while they sleeping. Then that's when they know they want you.
Mm-hmm. That's how you get kicked in the face.
What was next? You know? You start with toe sucking and then... toe sucking, like when you put somebody's hand in warm water, like, are they gonna pee? Like, what's...
I don't know.
A California man convicted of sucking on a sleeping woman's toes after breaking into her home claimed to be a Zeus-like god sent to earth to seduce women. Richard Michael Parkhurst, 29, of Norwalk, was convicted of one felony burglary count, one count appearing into an uninhabited building, and two counts of indecent exposure for a wild chain of events that unfolded after he exposed himself to a woman walking her dog October 2017.
What?
Nice dog, he told the woman.
So, I mean, so peering into a building, that mean looking into it? You just at the building looking in it?
Probably looking at somebody's window or something.
Ah, okay.
I mean, it should be a crime.
Oh, yes. I just never heard it described like that. You maybe think somebody like on the pier just gazing.
Oh, okay. Nice dog, he told the woman. I am walking mine too, he said before exposing his penis.
I guess that's his dog?
Yeah, my hot dog. Later that same day, he snuck into a sleeping woman's home where the woman said she woke up and found a creep sucking on her toes. DNA evidence linked him to the offense. Oh, she had to not wash her toes till the cop showed up to be like, this nigga was sucking my toes. Look at the steal some spit.
Oh.
My God. The next day, Parkhurst peeped into an apartment through the mail slot and told the resident his girlfriend was attractive. Oh, he was on some other shit. Hey, man. Hey. That's your girl? Who's talking to me? Down here at the mail slot. Hey, man.
Not the mail slot.
That's a bad bitch, dog. Get away from my door. I'm just saying, let me suck your toes. All right, bye. While in custody later that day, a female jail guard caught him touching himself while looking at her. According to prosecutors, he also wrote an inappropriate note to a jail guard while he was staying at Orange County Jail. Pinkhurst's attorney said the client's crimes were part of a delusion. Mr. Parkhurst developed a delusion that he was a Zeus-like god who was sent down from the stars to seduce a woman. Well, he's not good at it.
Mm-mm.
I don't know. Is that sexy to ladies? You look over your shoulders, a nigga just jacking off looking at you? I mean... Is that the move now? Mm-hmm. I gotta take him home and get him in my house where he can do anything to me. It was his destiny to seduce women and they would willingly have his children. Mr. Parkhurst believes that his progeny will create a super race that will save the planet. His attorney said Parkhurst stopped taking his medication for schizophrenia after his girlfriend died. He said Parkhurst heard voices coming from his television telling him to do things and that he was homeless. Oh, there you go. That makes much more sense.
Yes, it does.
Should have led with that. He was scared. He was scheduled to be sentenced April 5th.
Karen, guess the race of Mr. Richard Michael Parkhurst.
White.
Karen's going with white. Let's check the chat room and see what they believe. No, we got a lot of freaky homosexuals in the chat room, so they probably know. Super race white. I am Portiagus, god of toes. Oh, Podagius. I don't know how you say that. It's Greek. What white nonsense is this? Dave Chappelle show traded spouses white. White, white, honky. Let me holla, 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 white. His mental illness was diagnosed, so he's white. That's a good call. White cuz it went beyond whipping out his penis. White penis, Mr. Whitey, Wiggity White, and Podaya Guy Gus. That pimp from Utah white. The correct answer is he was white. Now I think he might be Greek white, you know, because he's kind of darkish looking to me, but he white. But yeah, sucking, Vandra waking up with your toes in some motherfucker's mouth you don't know. Whoa. Right? That's crazy. All right, let's get to the
looking
last.
Looking like that, you thought you was a Zeus?
Let's get to the last segment, Sword Ratchetness. Oh, why didn't it play? let's see. Mom slashes boyfriend with sword after catching him molesting 5-year-old daughter. That's some sword ratchetness I can support, though.
Right?
I mean, whatever you got handy. Okay? I'm not an absolutist on this. A Georgia.
Come on.
A Georgia mother went after her boyfriend with a sword after she walked in on him molesting her 5-year-old daughter. The woman, who has not been identified, told deputies she grabbed a sword when she caught her boyfriend, John LaWarren Williams, 25. Sound like a black man. Well, she reportedly sliced Williams on one of his hands as he tried to escape her home. Williams managed to run away before deputies responded to the mother's 911 call around midnight. The mother and child were taken to the hospital, but the girl's condition remains unknown. Williams surrendered to police the next morning. He's treated for minor injuries. Williams has been charged with aggravated child molestation, 2 counts of cruelty to children. Jesus Christ. Yeah, lock him up forever. Wish he would have got his neck or some other vital organ and ended his ass. Because what the fuck else do we need him on earth for? All right. That's right, y'all. I'm voting for Kamala Harris. All right, y'all. I'll talk to y'all.
I'm going to vote for Hillary again.
We'll probably talk to y'all Wednesday, depending on what our schedule is tomorrow. I know I'm hosting, or not hosting, I'm asking questions of JL Covan on the Making Podcast Great Again podcast tomorrow.
Looking forward to that. That's going to be fun.
And so it'll depend on when we, or how we feel after Karen gets our work and stuff. Right. If we want to do the show tomorrow. Mm-hmm. If so, we may do a short show and end before 8. If not, hey, Wednesday is the Game of Thrones recap with Justin. So until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.